a partner organisation with 24/7 Prayer, which I've actually got some personal background with, and something that greatly affected my life. It started 18 years ago, 1999, from a youth group who didn't know really how to pray and came up with this great idea of getting a room and praying for 7 days all through the night and all through the day. And God just came and showed up. That was the main thing. People got saved in that prayer room, and it started a fire, really, that's been burning with nonstop prayer ever since. So for 18 years, there's been prayer going on around the world in different locations. In fact, I believe, and I need some people to correct me if I get the facts wrong, but I believe it's there's been prayer rooms in every country in the world, bar four. I think that was what was said the other week, so, which is quite amazing. There's been lots of like prayer initiatives and things that have happened as a result of prayer, because when people pray, when they connect with God, it's not just going through lists and saying things, it's actually connecting with their Father. And actually God starts speaking, and then people start getting God's heart, and as a result, things start happening, because people start changing, people coming in line with knowing who God is and how much he loves them, and as a result, their lives are transformed and they can't help but love others. And so this sort of cycle doesn't just stop with just praying, and that's a nice thing to do and I've got my tick box, but it actually results in people in the end laying down their lives for others. And so actually it's not just prayer, it's a whole movement of prayer, mission and justice. That's the sort of three things. So what's happened is in some of the poorest parts of the world, there have been people who've gone and God's given them a heart for, and they've gone into those places, or even in their communities that they live in, they've just decided from a place of prayer, God's given them a heart for the people around them, and things have happened. They've just started loving them. And there's countless and countless stories. So last weekend, it was a great privilege to be at the 18th gathering in Birmingham. So it was the first time for 10 years it's been in the UK. So it was amazing to be there. And it was quite a big one. We were in the International Convention Centre in Birmingham. And it was joined. We were joined with Worship Central for the first 2 days. So there was a big worship and prayer thing going on, which was really exciting. I think there were over 40 countries represented. So that was really encouraging. It was great to hear lots of different stories from across the world of what God is doing as a result of just this prayer and obeying him and just listening to him and loving others. So that was really exciting. It's not always just lovely and amazing as well. There's a lot of tough stories. You know, when we step out of the boat, it's hard, because we've got to trust God. Because we're not working in our own strength, but we're having to rely on God. So there's a lot of tough stories. There's people, you know, have been martyred, and people persecuted, and people all around the world. Yeah, I mean, one of the other things that I was really encouraged by that happened was, hearing about, was the prayer spaces in schools. It's been, it started in the UK, again, going into schools and setting up creative spaces where people can have chance to meet with God. It's very creative, and people, young children are, or youth and young children are given space just to create, to connect and to find out who this God is. And I didn't even know that was possible in our schools, but it's been growing and growing in the schools. In fact, they said that I think it's over 1 million children have been in the prayer spaces in schools. And it's now in 31 countries, this sort of thing. So how amazing is that? That, you know, that's happening. So some incredible things. I don't want you just to listen to me, because there was a few other people who came with me as well. I'm going to ask John and Rosie to pop up. And Carol also came, but I won't pick on her. And Kate and Nathan came as well, but I'll just pick on these two. So I would like you to just tell us a little bit about your experience, because
Okay, so this is a really hard question to answer because 24/7 prayer gatherings aren't normal. My first one I went to probably about 2 years ago, Madrid, and I came back and I was working with the guys at Prayer Spaces at the time, and I was working with the guys at 24/7, so I knew them and they were friends. But when I came back, I was full of what had happened, much more so than I'd realised when I was there. So I explained it all to Rosie, kind of, and I think she thought I'd probably taken the wrong plane and ended up in Amsterdam, because, yeah. So I'm not going to try and achieve that same feat again today, but maybe just tell you why it's kind of so special, the 24/7 gatherings. They're just very different, I think, from anything that I've ever been to before. The worship is phenomenal. It's some of the best bands in the world that are there from kind of the Christian arena. And you're completely immersed in, there must have been close on 1,000 people from Worship Centre and 24/7 prayer that were just electric with kind of how excited they were from like 9 a.m. in the morning right through to 9, 10 at night, where they've kind of got unplugged sessions, which were just phenomenal. The generosity that you kind of see there is just, it's on another level. It's not something that you would see. There's maybe a gathering of, the 24/7 gathering that we were at on the Saturday, there was a collection of people not much bigger than this in a normal service, and they took up an offering, and the offering was £40,000 of a collection of people not much bigger than this. And these aren't like, they're not millionaires, they're not all come together from top businesses around the world. Most of them are missionaries, or they're just people that are the same as us, that aren't absolutely kind of loaded, they're strapped for cash, but yet they give more than they can, and every year they're back and they're prospering more and more each year, and it's just incredible to see. I mean, a denim jacket was auctioned for over £7,000 to help furbish a house for women that are abused from drug trafficking and just don't have anything, and it's unreal. And I think what's special for me about it is that it pushes you, it inspires you, it steps you out of your comfort zone. You don't know what's going to happen next at any point. You don't know what's going to happen in the worship. You don't know what stories you're going to hear. And the communicators and the storytellers are just, they're just on another level. That you can listen for 2 hours and be there for, feel like you've been there for about 10 seconds. The stories are just fantastic. And it's all real. That's what's so amazing about it. It's not kind of far-fetched stuff, it's everyday stuff that's happening in all over the world. And as Pete said, there's kind of the whole world that's pretty much there. The one in Madrid, again, was phenomenal. They had a band at the front that not one of them barely spoke the same language, yet they looked like they played together for a lifetime, and the worship was phenomenal. How is that even possible? It wasn't like they'd been rehearsing. They actually couldn't communicate with each other. So that, for me, is why it's amazing.
I got my own, thanks. I think what was incredible, as John was saying, I love stories, and I could probably talk for hours, as he will support. But what was incredible, the storytelling was phenomenal. I think our first morning there, the 9 a.m. session was all about we are created for joy and for beauty. I mean, what a phenomenal thing to sit and listen to. Like, that was God's purpose for us, and he gave this beautiful story of imagine God was sitting there creating a human being, and the angels rock up and say, "Really? Really? You're doing another one, God? I don't mean to be, don't mean to be rude, but you've got like 7 billion of them down there. Do you need another one?" And God says, "Yeah, but look at this one. This one. I just want this one." And that was the message that we came away with. Like, God just wants us. Like, he doesn't need us, not being rude, but he just wants us, and he delights in us. And we heard about discipleship and like stripping it down. What does that mean? And oh, it just means being on the journey. Well, that's what we're all about as Living Waters. That's what we're doing. And it just means that intimate relationship with one another and journeying on the life with each other. And I think that the one that we left with was about being, we are positioned and commissioned for such a time as this. And what did that mean to the woman that was telling the story? And it was just incredible. Like, you can't really imagine it. And it was just, I wish I could explain it to you, because you're all sitting there thinking, really? And I get that. And for me, it's like, imagine trying to explain to someone who's never tasted honey what honey tastes like. You could talk about the colour and its texture and its sweetness, but the best way to experience honey is to taste honey. And I wish I could, take you all with us to Birmingham and rewind the clock and take you all with us. But all I can say is it's incredible, and what an opportunity we had. And thank you to Pete for saying, "Hey, there's this opportunity. Come with us." So thank you.
Can I ask then, if there's one thing you can say that has had an effect on you? I've got two questions for you. One thing that's had an effect on you, And one thing that you feel God is saying to us through what you've experienced. I'm putting you on the spot now.
Can you repeat the question one more time? There's a lot in it.
I think he's saying, I've got it, Pete, don't worry. I think he's saying journey with each other. Like, you can do it on your own, and maybe you'll get to the same destination, but do it with each other. Like, you'll probably get there slower, it'll probably be more frustrating, but you'll have a great time, you'll go with people, and that's to me, that's what life is about. You know, it's not a race, it is a bit of a marathon at times, but share the journey with people. That's what I found really liberating. Like, you know, that's what I just find really exciting.
I think for me it was trust. He was saying step out of your comfort zone, go that bit further, do the things that you're maybe not going to do on your everyday journey, and trust in me that I will be there. If you're listening to me and you're in connection with me, then this is the work of me, so do those things.
Cool, brilliant, thank you. Give them both a clap. Thank you, John and Rosie. So, yeah, and just a couple of more stories. I think the stories are helpful. So we met somebody called Drew who lives in Lebanon, and he was called to move to Lebanon, and he just felt a burning heart when he heard about all the Syrian refugees coming over into Lebanon, and he moved out with his family. And basically, he's been just helping the Lebanese to love the Syrian refugees, because I didn't know too much about what's going on there, but the Lebanese and the Syrian people do not sort of get on. And so there's completely different culture, completely different, you know, group of people, and they don't share the same sort of beliefs and value system. And yet, when those the Syrians had to leave their place, a lot of the refugees left where they lived because it was just so hard for them. So they were going into a foreign place, which is hard for them. And yet, what they found is that there were several groups of Lebanese Christians who actually embraced them, which was, I mean, how much is that at the heart of God? When, you know, people who are meant to be your enemies embrace you. And they gave them shelter. They loved them. They were Muslim Syrians and these Christian Lebanese. And there's several out there working. My brother is part of Open Doors, and they're part of it as well. And they were just providing shelter, education, and just loving them. And they've seen a number of Muslims find Jesus just through that process, not preaching at them, not I'm trying to evangelize them, but love them practically. And now a lot of those Syrians are going back into, those refugees going back into Syria. There is a need to pray for those Syrians, that God will raise leaders amongst them who will help them in their next stage as they go back into Syria. And so I think it's just incredible that what God's doing is actually, there's a lot of Christians who, there are a lot of Muslims who found Jesus as a result of what's happening and going back into their home countries to actually love people and show them Jesus. I mean, this, you know, how God brings something good out of a mess, I don't know, but he does. So that was really encouraging. But I think my thought I want to leave with you is that, you know, we sort of, you can hear all these stories, and it's really great to be at these places and hear them all, but what is it really doing for each of us? How does it affect each of us? And I really felt that God was wanting me to pass on to you here that God invites each and every person here to be part of what he's doing. Because he is working in people's lives constantly. All around us, he's working. He's working in our lives, he's working in other people's lives all around us. And he is inviting us to step into what he's doing with each and every person. So what does that look like? It can look very different for different people. And, you know, as Rosie said, we've been like you know, positioned, and not, God has placed us in the place that we are for a reason. You know, He has put us in our hometown. He has put us in the family we're in. He's put us in our in the workplace that we're in. And not only that, that He has commissioned us for such a time as this. I love this. We can live, this quote, we can live by the premises of the world, or we can live by the promises of the Word. Now what that means is we can live by what's going on around us every day, day in, day out. There's lots of stuff happening in our lives, and there's loads of opportunities for us to take inputs from everything that's happening, and quite often they aren't actually that helpful for us, because there's a lot of there's a lot of fear, there's a lot of anxiety, there's lots of things around us that, if you look at the world, is groaning, is people are, you know, it's tough. But we can choose to live by that, or we can choose to live by the promises of the Word. And the Word is God made flesh. Promises of Jesus and connecting with Jesus. And I think that's just so encouraging to hear that we can actually live by what God's saying to us day by day. Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So it's pointing us back each and every time to hear and listen to Jesus, see what He's doing. And, you know, if we want to hear what God's doing in a busy world around us, then we quite often need to find those spots, find those times in our lives where we can just switch everything off and listen to Him. I know that's hard. And I'm not, and I know we all listen, we can all hear God in different ways, and He can be talking to us. He may talk to you constantly through the day. You might find that actually you need to pull yourself away and have some time. But I think there is something special about just stopping and finding that space every so often and just saying, God, it's me and You, and what do You want to say? And I just encourage you to do that this week, because as we find those spaces in what we're doing to hear from God, God will speak to us. And He wants to speak to us, not just about all the stuff going on in us, but about what He's doing around us. And He is choosing, He is inviting us to step out. There was a lady called Danielle Strickland, who's, I think she's part of the Salvation Army and lives in Vancouver. And she was there. She's been very instrumental in bringing, setting up various different, organizations, but helping with women being trafficked in human trafficking side of things. So that's what she's been very active in that. But she shared some stuff. And in fact, in one of the very, this just got me, one of the places that they lived, there was a couple who in their church who wanted to get married, and they chose to get married. They wanted to get married in this alley, in this alley that is probably the one of the worst alleys in one of the worst parts of the city they live in, which is dirty, full of homeless people, full of trash and rubbish, and yet they wanted to get married in this alley, which was a bit of a bizarre place to get married. But anyway, they had their heart set on it, because that is where, you know, that's where their heart was for these people. So they wanted to share their wedding with these people. So they put on this whole thing in this alley and got married, and they tried to clean it up as best they can. And so they were sharing, Danielle was, as she was in this place and they were having this wedding and taking these couple taking the vows, she noticed this, she called this they call it a dumpster, a rubbish bin, and the lid sort of slowly rose, and a pair of eyes looked out, and I don't think the eyes could quite believe what was going on in this alley around it, and slowly the lid just descended again, and that was it. And when the service and everything was over, she went up to this dumpster and opened up and looked inside, and there was this homeless person who was probably pretty scared of what was actually happening around them. And she, cutting a long story short, she invited, said, you can be part of this. She invited that person to come and enjoy, join the party. And they invited the homeless people to come and join and share their wedding. I mean, there's a story about this in the Bible that's very similar. But they invited these people to come and share in their wedding. And she tells this story is that actually sometimes we're a bit similar. We can be live our lives in this like dumpster that that's what's familiar to us. That's our boundaries. And we can sometimes lift up the lid and look out at what's going on out there, and it's a bit scary and it's a bit confusing. And, you know, our reaction is we could just go, whoa, I'm not touching that, and go back down into the dumpster. But I think believe that God's saying he's inviting us out of the dumpster to join the party. He wants to invite us into something bigger and to see what he's doing around us, actually to open our eyes. As I was driving this morning to church, it was really bright. I don't know, it's lovely, isn't it, seeing the blue sky. And everything looked really vivid. And suddenly it reminded me, I had this memory of a few years ago. I spent some time, just a whole few days, just praying with God. And as I came away from that time, I can only describe that everything went into sort of amazing technicolor. The whole world seemed different for some reason. I saw a different dimension to everything. Everything I saw, I could see God in it. And it just reminded me, and I thought, yeah, I've forgotten that. Actually, God wants us to see what he's doing. Now, it wasn't anything special about me just spending a couple of days. Well, I guess there was in one way. Then that actually spending that couple of days with God, I just came away with God. Does that make any sense? Because I was spending that time just praying, I started seeing how he was seeing. And I wish I could do that every day. And in fact, I think he wants us to do that every day. I think he wants to give us eyes to be able to see what he is doing, to see it in a different, not just what we see physically around us, but there is an extra dimension to seeing things from God's perspective. It's the Holy Spirit in us. And that is the hope for those people around us. And he wants to make us alive to that, alive to what his Spirit in us is saying, is doing, and is revealing around us. Life would be so, wouldn't life be so exciting if actually, you know, every day we go out and we see something, but we don't see it just from our eyes, but we see what God's doing in someone's life, and we get involved with it. Wouldn't that be exciting? Yeah? And as we walk into someone who's, you know, I don't know, in the shops, and rather than, you know, and we see what God's doing in their life, and he asks us to do something, and we're part of it. Really exciting. And I really believe that that is what God wants us to live like. Now, I'm just painting that picture because, I'm being honest, I don't live like that every day. And I think and probably most of us don't live like that. But I really believe that is how he wants us to be involved with him. So I'm just painting that as a picture. That's something that we can aim for. And as Rosie said, we don't do it individually. We do it together. I'm preaching, and I'm not meaning to preach. Sorry. Sorry. I'm sorry. Anyway, I'm just passionate about it, and I'm not. When it comes out, it comes out. But, you know, God is at work. God is at work around us. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to make you cry. God is at work around us, and I just think there's a switching on that he wants to do. He wants to open our eyes. He wants to give us that fresh fresh eyesight. He wants to remove the scales from our eyes, and he wants us to see how he sees and love how he loves. So, yeah, I think I was meant to do something about mission and prayer. Okay. So I think we're going to just pray. Yeah, we'll get into groups and pray for a little bit. And if anything I've just shared, you know, sparks on you, just pray about that. Just pray together and say, Lord, give us the eyes, give us the ears to see what you're doing around us, and help us to see how you see. A few other specifics to pray for. If we can pray for those Syrian refugees that I mentioned who've who are discovering Jesus for the first time, and pray for them and how they are actually going back into Syria, and that God would be with them, raising those who will help encourage and disciple and lead them. And also pray for the prayer spaces in schools that I mentioned, the young people and the children who need to, they need to see God. They need to meet with God in their way. And there is opportunity in these prayer spaces that are happening for them to... And I can't tell you all the stories because I don't know them, but there are people who've been... There are young kids who've been experienced forgiveness for the first time through those prayer spaces in the schools and experienced something of God. And it's been incredible. So pray for prayer spaces in schools. Pray for Syrians... the Syrian refugees, and pray that God gives us eyes and ears for those around us.
So the word that you will often hear being used, bandied about, is the word missional, a missional leadership, missional churches, mission. What you've just heard described today is what that word means. Missional means that we live believing that our life matters and that we are sent and we exist for a purpose. It's often said, and I don't know who it is, but who said there are two important days in your life. There's the day you were born, and then there's the day you figure out why you were born. And I mentioned on the news sheet that as I turned over the calendar for November, I could see 24 birthdays that I was looking at. So birthdays is on my mind. But as important as birthdays are, it's important that you figure out, why am I here? Why did you create me? And at the end of Ephesians 2, and verse 10 actually, I think. Sorry, Ben, I gave you 9, but we'll go for 10. I'm going to read these verses backwards, and because not because they make more sense backwards, but because it's a good process to go through. So verse 10 says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Yippee! We have got things to do. The problem is, if we don't have the attitude that we heard about today, and we have a wrong attitude of what God is like, we just think he wants us to get on and do stuff because he's a taskmaster. And that's not true. Or that by doing stuff, you earn his favor. So you've got to go back to verse 9. Not by works, so that no man can boast. So you're not doing the works so that you can boast about them and say, aren't I a good Christian? No, you go back to verse 8 and you say, for it's by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not by yourself, it's a gift of God. So everything that he's asking you to do and wants you to do and has designed you and created you to do, it's only possible when you connect with God and receive his grace and are able to do it. And you think, but then you think to yourself, well, why should we be bothering to do any of this? So you go to verse 7, in order that in the coming age he might show his incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Didn't read that very well, did I? In order that in the coming age he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness in Christ Jesus. So the reason we're doing these things is because God needs us to go into the areas like those alleys and like those places and show the incomparable riches of God's grace. And you think, what does that mean? How do I get to believing that? Well, you go back one more verse or two verses. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. That little verse there says that not when you said a certain prayer or when you did a certain deed, were you translated into Christ? That verse there says, when Christ's work was finished on the cross, you were no longer dead in your transgressions. But as far as God was concerned, he had placed you with Christ, and you were now the righteousness of Christ. And it says, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. It all starts when we are seated and we understand we're seated with Christ. And I don't know about you, but if you hang around me for very long, you'll start to think mad thoughts. You'll start to be slightly persuaded that you should jump into the marine lake, even though it's 10 degrees. And that's not a problem. That's just something that would be good to do. And then you might even start to be persuaded to get your bicycle out of the shed, because the nature and the things that I'm interested in, you will become interested in. And you can try and resist, but it's impossible. It's futile, okay? If you hang around me, before long, you will be in the marine lake. Am I right, anyone? Yes. If you hang around God, it is impossible for you not to be transformed into someone who wants to be sent somewhere to represent him and his goodness and his kindness. That is what mission is about. Missio Dei. That means God sent. God sent his only begotten son into this world. He didn't reach out. I don't believe in outreach. The church in this area is not reaching out and grabbing someone and pulling them in. That is not the purpose of why we're here. Many of you will have heard us say, if the church ceased to exist, how long would it be before the community knew we were gone? And we've taken that as a personal thing, but actually it's not a personal one church thing. In this community, if the church ceased to do the work of the kingdom, the community would know instantaneously. The food bank, which is run by Churches Together, it would go down. I'm looking at all the things that we do as churches, mums and toddlers groups in the town that are run by churches, people going into schools, even we're in schools, the Explore course is in schools, Transforming Lives for Good is in schools. That would disappear. We've got an amazing array of things that are happening in this church, community cafes, places where the credit union, this town is saturated with people who've understood that, you know what, God, you need me to be here being you and representing you. So if you read it forwards again, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we are dead in our transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming age he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works so that no man can boast. For it is God's, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And I would encourage you today that you start to think, why am I here? What am I to do? Each one of us, what am I doing today? Who do you want me to connect with today, Father? As I go, because as you start that process, you will very quickly realize you don't have the resources. And it will cause you to reach out to God for his grace and his mercy and his love and say, God, if you want me to take something into my workplace, I'm going to have to get it before I go. I don't know about you, but some workplaces you have to take in cakes if it's your birthday. That seems a very strange thing to do. But it's your birthday and you have to take cakes in. But our mentality should be, what of you, God, are we taking into our day-to-day life today? Not, please, God, can I make it through unscathed? Or because that's all about me. And the kingdom of God is never about you. It's about others. And so if you, as we stand up, as we get up today, in the morning, each day, it is, okay, God, what resources are you giving me to take to others? And constantly looking out for that. You know, as I woke up this morning, the word that came to mind, it's obviously a sign of age that old songs come to mind. Or it could just be that I'm, you know, it's the genetics. It's all good, you know, it's all good. All God's sense of humor. But it's a challenge. It's a challenge, what Leon said. Because we sing, here I am, wholly available. As for me, I will serve the Lord. And we can sing that to our heart's content. But is it actually the case? Here I am, wholly available. I'm ready to serve you in whatever situation. There is a world out there. There's a massive need. And I believe in the heavenly realms, God is saying, just like he said in Isaiah, who shall I send? And when you know God, you'll know that if you respond to that call, it will be the best life you can ever have. The people who don't know God think, God's so mean, if I said I'd go anywhere, he'd send me somewhere I really don't want to go. And I don't like hot places, so he'd send me somewhere hot. And I don't like spiders, he'd send me somewhere with spiders. Come on, you don't understand your Heavenly Father. He will take the very small things that you bring, the two loaves and the five fish, and he will turn it into something amazing with his grace and his mercy and his goodness. And you can go at any age. You can do it. I mean, I love what Di, many of you will know Di Rogers, who was here with us. She's now passionately going out to Greece, isn't it? Greece and connecting with the refugees who are there. If you watch that program on the television about fugitives and things, it's heartbreaking. People are saying, what was the point of my life? I've left my country. They're lost. They're without hope. They're without national identity. They're without dignity. They're without money. They're without homes. They're without everything. And we're out of time on that note. So let me pray for you. And Father, I thank you that it's never too late to hear your call that says go. And Father, we want to be those who go to our families, go to our communities, go to our towns. But Lord, maybe we're called to go to our world. Go to a different nation. Jesus, you laid down everything that was familiar and comfortable for you, everything that you had already, you set aside to be sent by the Father. And because of that, therefore God exalted Jesus to the highest place. And Father, I just pray that you would give us something of what it means to live a missional, sent life every moment of every day. In Jesus' name. Amen.